Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Football. Energy drinks. Beer. More football. Welcome to Bink at Night.
And welcome to Bink at Night. A lot of fun tonight for the next 3 hours. No Pete. No amateur Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney. The rest of the crew, Ken Swanson and company, is at the Senior Bowl, Mobile, Alabama. Pete is on his way to Florida. He's going to go a little bit early, see some friends. Plus, I said that, we're tired of hearing you, Pete. Too much Pete. Kramer, the Kramer dog producing the operation. He's got dog back on the nickname.
Oh, yeah, I do.
What's up, Kramer?
Nothing much, Bink. How's your, is it Wednesday? These days seem like they go by pretty quick.
They run together. We've got a lot of stuff going on, man. This show will be at FanFest, Royals FanFest, Friday night. Looking forward to that. I follow Vern. Imagine that. Guy that was hired on the same day as me back in 2012. Follow Josh Vernier. He's back to Royals Insider. So we'll be down at Royals FanFest. Hopefully talk to some Royals. You name it. But no Pete tonight. Pete will be down in Florida. He'll be chiming in. Went down there a little bit early. The Chiefs put out their injury report today. DeMarcus Robinson did not practice at all. Illness. This is what's going around. I'm sure that the other people have been sick around the city. You probably lost your voice over the Chiefs going to the Super Bowl or getting to the AFC title game like I did, and it still doesn't come back. This is 24-point deficit voice. Chris Jones, Travis Kelce, limited participants, but I expect a full complement of Chiefs to play on Super Bowl Sunday. A full complement to play that day, Kramer, and I'm looking forward to it. Michael Lombardi had a tweet that came out yesterday as we diagnosed the Chiefs and which direction they're going. Matter of fact, a couple people had some good ones. Mike Freeman, NFL, had one come out on Bleacher Report Gridiron, said several assistant coaches and executives around the NFL expect Kansas City to win big against San Francisco. Freeman is stunned by how confident they are. I guess I'm starting to get that confidence, too, a little bit, Kramer. The 49ers, believe it or not, scored more points than the Chiefs. Pat Mahomes was hurt 2.5 games. The Chiefs actually limited the defense or the opposing offense to fewer points than the 49ers. 49ers, they have the second-best defense in the NFL. 8th in the NFL in points against the Chiefs, 2nd in that category. But really, Michael Lombardi of The Athletic put something out about the Senior Bowl. He said, as the Senior Bowl begins this week in Mobile, every team will be scouting out for the talent. For Mayock, Telesco, and Elway, the only defensive players worth evaluating are the ones who meet the specific criteria, which can be potentially help solve the Mahomes problem. He says, who cares if a big defensive tackle can stop the run? He won't play in 2 games a year versus Kansas City. So what benefit does he bring? Yes, that player might be useful. He might make those teams a little better, but he won't help beat the primary opponent. Those GMs cannot lose sight of the ultimate goal. Every scout and personnel needs to understand the plan of how to attack Mahomes. Precisely what type of players need to be acquired. They should never allow a player to enter the organization who cannot help deal with Mahomes. And I think it's funny they're talking that way, Kramer. I've said all along, I think this is how teams are going to approach Pat Mahomes. He's a real problem for this division. As Andy Reid, 27-3 against this division, going back to 2015. Yeah, we can keep searching for defensive help. You can keep searching for the answers in the draft. Pass rush, secondary, that's what they need to find. Can you imagine if the Chiefs find a Kareem Hunt once again that can lead the NFL in rushing with this offense?
It would just make this team even more complete. If they actually find another running back that can be similar to what Kareem Hunt brought to the team.
I mean, this division has to be concerned about it. The Chargers don't have a quarterback at this point because Phillip Rivers may or not come back. He moved his family to Florida, and Phillip won't play anywhere.
All 22 of them?
Yeah, a big family. But he won't play anywhere without his family near him. Derek Carr in the Las Vegas Raiders. Can't win at Arrowhead Stadium. Drew Lock and the Denver Broncos need a ton of pieces around Drew to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. They weren't even close against the Chiefs this year. They couldn't even beat Matt Moore. Pat Mahomes goes out early in that game with dislocated knee. They couldn't solve it. Andy Reid has owned this division, especially the teams he plays twice. And that's got to be a real concern for any of these teams looking for the Kansas City Chiefs, who, by the way, are already the Super Bowl favorites for next year, as they were this year as well. But he has dominated against the Chargers. He has dominated against the Raiders. Against the Chargers, he won 10 of the last 11. 9 in a row was snapped last year, or not this year, but 2018. Denver, they've won 8 in a row. They haven't beaten the Chiefs since Manning. Oakland, they've won 10 of the last 11. It's solving the Mahomes problem. One way to solve the Mahomes problem is for these guys to actually go out and get a franchise quarterback. But Mahomes is a real thorn in the side to the AFC because he's not going anywhere for a while. Chiefs are going to pay him this offseason. He's not going anywhere. I'll never forget talking to Andy Lindholm during he's a radio host out in Denver about the Mahomes problem. And he said, Jay, this is the number one thing people are concerned about in this town. The fact they have to play Pat Mahomes twice. It was one thing with Alex Smith. They thought they'd get by with the great defense, which they could. But Pat Mahomes presents a whole different problem to the Denver Broncos. He poses a problem to the AFC. Baltimore did not get to see the Chiefs in the playoffs. They got to see them twice. And they got to see Pat Mahomes twice in the regular season. And Pat Mahomes beat them both times. The Texans got a glimpse of what a healthy Pat Mahomes can do and what a defensive turnaround Kansas City has. That's what he can do. We'll dissect the Chiefs and the 49ers plenty tonight. Desmond Moses, former Chiefs linebacker, in studio with us. He played for Dee Ford and played with a lot of players on this team. What can they expect? What can they bring? He was big on the Frank Clark edition. He'll join us. We'll get on the Senior Bowl and talk to Craig Stout coming up around 6:15. And then last night, of course, there was the...
And a block to finish. And DeSosa blocks it, and now the bench is empty. Just unnecessary.
Yeah. That's not good.
This is bad.
This is...
No good. Oh, this is terrible.
There are going to be ramifications for this going forward.
And it's just... Just no point to it.
KU, K-State in a fight, and I get it. You're kind of wrapped up in the Chiefs season so far. I don't know if you checked it out. I did. See what was going on. Kansas wins the game handily, but Silvio D'Souza, who picked up a chair that was grabbed out of his arm before he could throw it, 12-game suspension. As the Big 12 put out their suspensions. David McCormick, 2 games. For Kansas State, James Love, 8 games. He was the player that was dressed in street clothes. That wasn't even in a uniform for the game. Antonio Gordon gets 3 games. This fight, now the chair, forget about the chair. The chair you can't do. And to be honest with you, I have no idea why Silvio even pulled the chair out. To be honest with you, I have no idea why he even pulled the chair out. That's kind of a coward move. He's a big enough guy anyway. Just fight. Just fight fair. Nothing good can happen when you grab a chair.
I mean, he held the chair wrong anyways.
Yeah, but that was dumb.
Yeah, no, it was
stupid. And there was way too many people around, even his own guys, even his own fans, to be effective. Jarence Howard, the Kansas assistant, grabbed the chair. And I know Kansas people trying to defend it, saying he dropped. No, he didn't drop the chair. Jarence Howard grabbed the chair before he could swing the chair, which was big. As far as the fight, I liked it. Like, Kansas State needs that. Like, that's not a bad thing for those two teams to go at it. It's a bad thing for those teams to go at it when someone grabs a chair. Fight fair. As Bill Self said, man, pull it out on the court. If you want to fight, fight. The chair was dumb. It's a coward move when you grab that. But I have no problem with KU and K-State fighting. This is what rivalries should be.
And you got to admit, sports fights are pretty fun to watch.
No, they are. It gets there. I mean, people were talking about this game. They normally wouldn't have even talked about the Kansas-Kansas State game.
It would have just been a blowout. That's all it would have been.
There's so many things going on, but to me, that's what a rivalry is. That game, when Kansas goes down there on the 29th of February, which D'Souza, his suspension will run past that, so we won't be in that game in Bramlage. If I'm Bill Self, I'm not even bringing him. Just to sit here and sit there and take it from the K-State fans. But you telling me in an octagon of doom, that's not going to be a spicy matchup for Kansas State? And you got to see the shirts going back and forth. The Kansas shirts. Kansas State started it. Kansas State's got the shirts. Kansas started it. That, my friend, is a true rivalry.
It's all about the money there, Bink. It always is.
That's a true rivalry. Absolutely love it. True rivalry. And speaking of rivals, the Raiders officially become the Las Vegas Raiders today. From the Raiders' Twitter account, here's Mark Davis, the owner.
The Raiders were born in Oakland and played 13 seasons in L.A. Both cities will always be part of our DNA. But today, we begin a new chapter in our storied history. For today, January 22nd, 2020, we are now the Las Vegas Raiders.
There you go. The Raiders are going to be playing in the Death Star. I read this article, Kramer, where the person sat in the black hole was talking about, you know, the black hole people that, you know, had season tickets all over the stadium. You wouldn't believe how many people from Oakland bought season tickets in Las Vegas. They're going to have the black hole.
That's good. They need to keep that.
They need to keep it. It's perfect. It's like the cauldron. You got to have that fan say, this is great. This is the Raiders.
You can just say that the entire, I mean, the Elegant Arena is the black hole.
Anyway, I'm excited about that. I love rivalries in sports. It's fun. Kansas and Kansas State, hey, fight all you want. Don't grab a chair. 913, I don't know about a coward move. He had eight players run up on him. Come on, man. He's tough enough to fight that deal. He had enough support from his Kansas players. I mean, just don't do the chair. Just don't do the chair. I have no problem with the fight. I have no problem with Kansas and Kansas State fighting. None. I just don't like the props because I think you can deal without the props. You don't need the chair. Had he hit the chair, he's probably done. Probably never play Kansas again. That's not me. That's the commissioner, probably the Big 12, what they'd say. Be gone. Be done. Anyway, we'll go down to the Senior Bowl. Mobile, Alabama. Talk to Craig Stout, defensive film analyst for Arrowhead Pride, regarding the Kansas City Chiefs. We do that next. Bink at Night. And welcome back to Big at Night, Jay Binkley and Kramer the Crame Dog. Now it's time to head down to Mobile, Alabama. Talk to no stranger on this show. His name's Craig Stout at Barley Hop, defensive film analyst, arrowheadpride.com. He and Kent Swanson down in Mobile. And, of course, they put out that great draft guide every year. Well, they get to single-handedly talk and see a lot of these players as well. Craig, good evening.
Good evening, Vic. How are you doing this evening?
How are you in Mobile, Alabama?
I wish it was a little bit warmer. We've got highs like in the high 40s right now, so it's not as warm as we'd expect, but the prospects are good. We're having a good time down here. It's been a lot of fun so far.
Well, I know you guys like going down to the Senior Bowl, you and Kent Swanson down there. How conflicting is it for you watching the Senior Bowl, but yet keeping an eye on the Super Bowl as well?
I'll tell you what. We released a podcast yesterday, our AP Laboratory podcast that we do weekly that talks about that very thing. It's a lot different this year. We've gotten to see a lot more interactions of people that are excited for the Chiefs, that, you know, are really excited to see this Chiefs 49ers Super Bowl. So it's one of those things where last year, having lost in the AFC Championship game, we didn't get a lot of excited people to see us. There was a lot of sympathy and everything like that. This year, people want to talk to us. Prospects want to talk about the Super Bowl and the Chiefs roster and everything like that. So even though we are kind of looking at the draft a little bit this week, the Super Bowl is definitely still on our minds.
What are these prospects saying about it? Have the Chiefs become that fun team now that all these guys look at?
It's not just that there are a fun team. I mean, last year we talked, you know, basically every receiver that we talked to said, well, I would love to play with Patrick Mahomes, because of course they would.
Yeah.
Now we're seeing a culture shift in a lot of these guys that they recognize. Honey Badger, Frank Clark, guys like this. When I talk to defenders down there are guys that grew up, you know, watching Tyrann Mathieu, watching Frank Clark. Antoine Brooks of Maryland told me that he would cry if the Chiefs drafted him because he'd be in the same room as Tyrann Mathieu and getting to learn from him. So it's a different aura around the team. We're seeing a lot of guys that just have so much respect for what Spagnuolo does, what these players can do, and the type of effort and aggression and everything that they put forth on tape. We didn't hear any of that last year. This year, that's kind of the big takeaway that we've gotten so far.
And you know, it's going to be interesting too. I mean, this will help out undrafted free agents at the end of the conclusion of the draft. Basically, when you have a chance against 31 other NFL teams, if you're the Chiefs, to get guys to sign up and play for you. And we've seen these guys be impactful. You know, guys like Darrell Williams that made the roster. You know, being an undrafted guy. To me, this only helps Brett Veach once the draft's done as well.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think that these prospects are really, like I said, they're really respecting the culture. They're really respecting the way that the team is built and the type of mentality that's put forth there. So I think you just end up getting these guys that maybe not necessarily are putting forth more effort, but are just more excited to, you know, show up on a day-to-day basis and work as hard as they possibly can because they know that they've got the right structure and they've got the right culture there to do the things that they need to do.
We're talking to Craig Stout, defensive film analyst, arrowheadpride.com. He's down at the Senior Bowl with Kent Swanson. Before we get into the Senior Bowl, real quick about this game, the Super Bowl game. The funny thing is the 49ers actually averaged more points on offense than the Chiefs. A lot of people don't realize that. And on the flip side, the 49ers might have the number two defense, but the Chiefs defense actually one number ahead of the San Francisco 49er when it comes to points against. Who would have thought that coming in the Super Bowl?
I know. It really is. It feels like we've got the best two teams this year in the Super Bowl. I think everybody that I've talked to down here feels pretty much the same way. These are the teams that they wanted to see, especially as it started to whittle down and Baltimore got it removed from the equation. It was definitely, from a football standpoint, wanting to see the best possible game. These guys wanted to see Chiefs versus 49ers, and it's for those very same reasons that you're mentioning there. Both have a good defense, both have a good offense, both have good coaches with offensive minds. Like, it's not going to be a slug it out 13-10 game in this one. I think it's going to be played in the upper 20s, maybe the low 30s there, and this is going to be a more enjoyable game for everybody to watch. You're going to get to see a lot more schemes, a lot more innovation. It's going to be a little, maybe catching some defenses off guard, but it's going to be a lot more fun for most fans to watch.
Now, Jimmy Garoppolo has four fourth-quarter comebacks. We know that in the playoff game against the Packers, they only threw the ball eight times. They just ran it. The Chiefs showed that they've been very good at stopping the run down the stretch. Yes, Jacobs gets over 100 yards from against the Raiders, but they've been good on that. Can the Chiefs defense force Garoppolo to throw the football? Because the Chiefs defense, their weakness is against a tight end. They've given up what the most passes to tight ends in the NFL.
Yes, yes. And I think that Kyle Shanahan is going to turn on the tape, and they're going to realize that while they probably can run on the Chiefs defense, they probably will be able to throw a lot more effectively. George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Emmanuel Sanders, those guys are just so good in the middle of the field, and they're so good at scheming looks up to get those guys open in space. And you know, you don't want any of those guys in space. They're all yards after catch monsters. So I don't think that they're really going to rely on Mostert in the same way that we saw against the Packers. Packers gave them light boxes all day long, and you know, they were able to run a lot of traps and everything outside zone with Mostert and just kind of allow him to play in space. If they get up big on the Chiefs, I would expect something like that. But at the same time, I think that Kyle Shanahan is going to start this game out trying to go through those better playmakers against the Chiefs middle of the field, where especially without Juan Thornhill, they are definitely a little bit weaker.
Well, obviously, as far as the draft is concerned, the Chiefs, you know, at the end there, they're essentially getting a second-round player. What do you think? I mean, to me, this wide receiver group is so deep, and they're going to – I mean, DeMarcus Robinson, I can't see a situation where he comes back. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't, but I just don't see it. Sammy Watkins probably goes as well. They are going to need wide receiver help. I do think they're going to get running back help. And there's always, of course, linebacker, inside, outside edge, plus defensive backs. Where do you see as Brett Veach's biggest needs at the Senior Bowl and the Combine? You name it.
I think it's corner. And I really think it's corner, not necessarily because the cornerbacks have played poorly, but as it stands right now, there are only two corners on the active roster. I know Alex Brown kind of factors in there a little bit as well. But Charvarius Ward and Rashad Fenton are your guys going forward. I don't think that that should give anybody, you know, real security about that position. Not to say that those guys are bad or that those guys shouldn't be on the roster, but you definitely need to address the position, give it an infusion of talent. We like Charvarius Ward, but it's not a situation that you want him being the guy that has to shoulder all of the load necessarily. If they are able to get a young talent, a guy there at the end of the round that they can really rely on to kind of shut down more of half the field than you can allow to yourself to do what they've done with Charvarius throughout this year. Give him some safety help. Offer him some help. Allow him to do the things that he does best. And then you can get back to the point where you've kind of seen this year only better because you can do a lot more with your safeties. Honey Badger is more free to roam the box, which we've seen him do, and that he's looked fantastic in it. So I think that corner is a position just because it has such a ripple effect throughout the entire defense.
Anybody out there you're looking at in particular, I kind of got my eyes on this Devin DuVernay. He's the wide receiver from Texas. Huge year, about 106 catches this year. I think he's playing in the Senior Bowl. He's on the South roster. He's a guy I could see being picked up in the mid-rounds.
Yeah, Duvernay's been pretty good. He dropped a couple passes this week, which is very uncharacteristic for him. He's got good hands. Colin Johnson, his teammate, has lit the secondary up. He's actually looked a lot better than I even thought that he did. He's moved pretty well for a big guy, as has Denzel Mims from Baylor. K.J. Hill from Ohio State, if you're looking for a wide receiver. You know, Ohio State, we've seen last year with Terry McLaurin, knows how to produce wide receivers that can produce at an NFL level immediately. K.J. Hill looks the part again, maybe not to the McLaurin level, but a guy that you could pick up in the middle round that could produce. I'm looking at linebackers. I'm a linebacker guy. I'm looking at corners here as well. It's a cornerback group with some of the late, you know, guys that have backed out aren't as good. I'm looking at linebackers, Logan Wilson out of Wyoming, Akeem Davis-Gaither. These guys that can cover a little bit, a little bigger to stop the run. Those are the types of guys that I'm looking at in Mobile this week.
What about the inside linebackers of Alabama? Anthony Jennings and Terrell Lewis, they on your radar?
They are on my radar, but here's the thing. Anthony Jennings and Terrell Lewis have been playing more edge rusher down here in Mobile, particularly Lewis. Jennings has gotten some off-ball reps, but he doesn't look particularly fluid. He's not very good dropping into coverage right now. He's definitely in the bottom tier as far as coverage guys. Now, as far as rush guys, he looks fantastic. But Zach Bond out of Wisconsin, another guy that rushes pretty well off the edge, they've got him playing some Mike linebacker and Will linebacker as well. And he looks really good in that regard as well. I talked to him today, and he talked about how his versatility is so important. And he's looked at Spagnuolo's defenses before to see how he's kind of deployed some of those guys. So maybe a guy that the Chiefs can have on their radar.
You know, I'll leave you with this, but you did mention Colin Johnson, the wide receiver out of Texas, and they have Devin DuVernay down there too, and he's 6'6". You know, didn't even have 40 catches this year, but the guy almost had 70 catches 2 years ago, and I am interested because he's not on a lot of radars. You know, he could be fifth, sixth, or even seventh round, maybe even undrafted. Is that kind of where you see him, or does he need a big combine in Senior Bowl?
I think that honestly, well, he definitely needs a big finish this week and a big combine. I was honestly so much more impressed by the way that he moved than I thought he would be. Because like you said, he's a very big guy. And when I measured his hand, and I realized that this is getting into, you know, this sort of athletic testing and measurable thing that a lot of people don't like, but it does matter for wide receivers. His hands are small. And so we were worried about maybe what he'd be able to do on the field. But he really has looked great. His route running has been great. He looks to have this speed to stretch defenses vertically. Honestly, he's been probably my most impressive player of the week. I mean, I was not a big fan of him coming into this week. So I would expect that he's risen quite a bit on teams' boards this week. If he has a big combine, I think that he could be a guy that slips into that maybe late day two range at the bottom of round three. I think that you could get a guy like him in round four, maybe round five, and he could be a very productive player. He's got some stuff that he needs to work on, but the raw talent is there.
Good stuff, man. Enjoy Mobile, Alabama. Talk to the Craig Stout. We'll talk to him again on the Arrowhead Pride tailgate show right before the Super Bowl. It'd be fun, but he's got an eye on the Super Bowl, and he's got an eye on talent. He and Kent Swanson down at the Senior Bowl for arrowheadpride.com. Follow him on Twitter, at BarleyHop. Craig, thank you, man.
Thanks, Pete. Have a good one.
You too. Take care. Enjoy your time down at the Senior Bowl. Get you excited there, Crim Dog?
You know, I can't wait. I cannot wait. I'm ready for the draft to happen here soon.
I wish I was down there with those guys, man.
I wish I was too there, Bing.
It's a good time, man. How about that, though? Colin Johnson, 6'6". You know, a lot of boards don't even have him early. He said he's better than Devin so far, the Texas wide receivers. Devin goes about 5'11", Colin Johnson about 6'6".
I like those big receivers.
Yeah, I do, too.
Big hands.
I do, too. Well, yeah, I do, too. I do, too. Coming up next, hear from Pat Mahomes, who talked today, and he starts off talking about ticket disbursement. If your name is Pat Mahomes, you got a lot of people that want to go to the Super Bowl. Hear from quarterback one next.
Bing at night.
Welcome back to Bing at Night, Jay Binkley and Kramer. Can I believe the Kansas City Chiefs will be playing the 49ers in the Super Bowl next weekend?
I pinch you and you, are you dreaming or anything right now?
I can't believe we're talking about it. My mind usually shifts completely to the Senior Bowl. I'm like Craig Stout, though. It's kind of just half there. You know what I mean? Yeah, get me excited. I'm all about this draft.
I noticed when I came into work, you were still all giddy about the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, though.
Not only that, we'll get to it later, but in Las Vegas, you know, they're hosting the draft this year. Cleveland next year, 22's empty, 23 is Kansas City. They're going to deliver guys in boats. It sounds funny. Sounds fun. I don't know. I'll have to see it. Sometimes I'm not in the gimmicks. We'll discuss that later. Pat Mahomes here in just a second. But right now, Double J. What's up, Double J?
What up, Bink? What up, Crame Dog? I tell you guys what, this is awesome. It's a great time to be in Kansas City right now. It's sinking in now that we're going to the Super Bowl. It's something like I cannot believe it. It's so awesome. I've waited for this for 28 years. I'm just so excited. It should be a great game. I think we'll come out on the winning side. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, and I'm just excited. We're going to win the Super Bowl. We're going to bring it home. This city's going to be nuts. We've waited a long time for it.
You know what? There's a lot to be excited about. Get Royals Fan Fest this weekend. Salvador Perez is going to become a U.S. citizen down at the Royals Fan Fest. Alex Gordon signed for another year. A lot of reasons to be happy.
It's awesome, man. It's a great time to be in Kansas City. I'm excited for the Royals, too. It's just a good time. Go Chiefs, and love the show, and appreciate it. And I'll listen out there. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Double J. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Pat Mahomes, as I mentioned, met the media today. There'll be a lot of Pat Mahomes talking here the next 2 weeks. If you missed Pat Mahomes earlier today, here was quarterback one.
Hearing what everybody says, yet keeping that laser focus, getting ready for 49ers.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is in these first few days, trying to get everything settled as far as getting family and friends at the game and everything like that, and getting them the tickets squared away, hotel rooms and stuff like that. And so that now, going into the week, I can really focus in on the game plan and doing everything. And obviously, I've already watched film Monday, Tuesday, and stuff like that. But getting my family squared away first, and then now I can really just focus in on doing what it takes in order to win it.
How much are you leaning on Coach Reed and players like Rosa, because they've actually been there, what preparation is like, and any holes there?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, really talking to those guys, seeing what the week's like first off. I mean, obviously, we have a schedule of how we're doing everything, but seeing what extra free time I think I can pick up in order to either study more or get guys together to get some more work in. Yeah, I mean, just using those guys and their experiences to really have an understanding of what we're going into and what to expect.
How much time did you allow yourself to celebrate the win on Sunday and It's a bigger win than the regular kind of
thing. Yeah, I mean, I think just that night, I mean, just kind of with the family and friends and some teammates, just kind of just enjoying it. But then going in on Monday, we got right back onto the 49ers. And the good thing about this is we know who we're playing, so you can kind of use this extra week and really focus in on one team so that you can prepare yourself in the best way possible.
Okay, what do you see in first glance? Maybe you got a chance to watch the NFC Championship game on a replay
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I mean, obviously they have a ton of playmakers on the defense, defensive line, linebackers, and secondary, but they have guys that have had experience and they have young guys that are super talented. And so you can see that that the young guys have really grown as the years went on, as they've learned from other guys around. And, I mean, they're very sound in what they do and the coverages that they play. And so for us, it's about just having to execute at a high level and knowing it's going to be a great challenge on every single play.
I shot a couple of TV commercials with Aaron Rodgers, right? So do you have you already, or will you call him and say, hey, you know, what do you think? What do you see when you're out there? Steal some ideas after each player.
Yeah, I haven't even thought about that. I might need to, but no, it's I do have a relationship where I can talk to him and text him and do stuff like that. But I'll probably just focus in on what we do here and what Coach Reed game plans, because I know he's done a good job of game planning all year long.
With all this extra time, how do you make sure you don't go into over analysis? You know, spending too much time watching film with all the extra body.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can spend too much time watching film, but I think you can spend too much time trying to dissect every single thing. I think there's times where you're playing a team that like them, that they play their certain coverages and they play them really well, that you just have to go out there and execute. I mean, that's the biggest thing. The plays are going to be there. You're going to have chances in the game to have opportunities, but they're not going to be a ton. So when you do get those opportunities, just make sure you execute at a high level.
Any other championships you played in, even like in your youth level, that you could kind of fall back on, even if it's like a T-ball championship or anything of that nature, that you could fall back on?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I've played in championship games growing up, but this is definitely a bigger one, probably the biggest one that's around. And so for me, it's just about, like we said, talking to Coach Reed, talking to Suggs, all these guys that have been in these games, getting a feel for having to run out of the tunnel and then wait around a little bit before you get going, and kind of building and kind of containing your emotions and being able to get there and really just play football when it comes down to it.
Patrick, can you describe how Andy kind of emotionally connects with you and the team? It seems he's able to inspire, but also calm you. I wonder how that works.
Yeah, I think it's just he's the same person every single day. Same person if we're winning or if we're losing. He's going to have that same fire, but at the same time, still being able to teach in the moment and really get the best out of every single person. I think that's a huge thing. And you've seen it these last few weeks when we're down, and you've seen it when we've been up in games. We still have that same mentality of taking it one play at a time and trying to be great for that play.
And one other part to that, I mean, there's no connection with you directly. I was sort of joking with him the other day about you guys are completing each other's sentences, and he said you actually are. Have you caught on to that experience, or do you remember that happening a few times?
Yeah, it's happened before. Matt Moore has a great story about it, one of his first weeks here. But it's just being on the same page in the game, knowing what he's going to call before he's going to call it, having the same feel for the game, and then making sure we're communicating. That stuff that Coach Reed does a great job with, as well as Coach Bieniemy and Coach Kafka.
Does he still do impressions of you?
Yeah, every once in a while he'll throw it out there still. So he keeps the room alive, I guess you would say, and making sure that you know that he can still throw a joke here and there, even during a week like this.
Andrew, on the touchdown to Sammy, it seemed like you were getting pressure right in your face and somehow still managed to look at the field. It's just like incredibly rare. Is that something that you've always been able to do, or is that something maybe you've worked on? Like, what's the key to that?
Yeah, I think it's something that I've always done is whenever I'm scrambling, keep my eyes downfield. I've never been the fastest guy, so I've always wanted to get to guys like Tyreek and McCole and Travis and all these other guys and Sammy. And so for me, actually on that play, I left the pocket a little too early just because they did kind of a stunt with the D-line. I thought I could run for it. And as I saw it developing, I knew I kind of had a reset in the pocket. And as I did that, I got back through my reads, and Sammy was a guy I was going to go to anyways. And he did a good job of fighting through a holding penalty and getting downfield. And so I was able to get the ball to him in enough time that he can score touchdowns.
Patrick, you've been here for a few years now. So you haven't been around this like 50 years like the city's been for this to happen. How do you guys guard against winning on Sunday not being the destination? Did you have one more game and not let that part creep in, because there's such a celebration around here because it's been so long?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we celebrated that night, but I think the mentality of these guys in this locker room is that we want to get the big one. We want to not fall short. We want to make sure that we're going to the Super Bowl and that we can win it and not regret not preparing or doing whatever it takes to do that. And I think with the guys in this locker room, we're going to take advantage of every single day. It's a long build over these next week and a half or whatever it is, but we're going to build every single day of just taking advantage of it and hopefully getting there and playing our best football and trying to find a way to win the football game.
When do you think it's going to hit you that you're actually there? Would it be when you get off the Sunday or open the night at Miles Park that we are here in the Super Bowl? You know, get a chance to actually enjoy it before obviously you have to switch your mind to get back to work.
Yeah, I think when I get on the plane and it's snowing and then get off and I'm sweating, I'll know I'm there.
But the decision to follow up on that, maybe the last 3 months you all have played in cold weather, maybe outside of Nashville. What's it going to be like now, you know, kickoff should be about 70 degrees when you all play for the championship?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Coach Reed's been talking about it since the playoffs started, staying in warm weather shape, and I think he says something about it after the game. And so guys have been getting extra running in, getting extra stuff in to make sure they're ready to be in this opportunity and be in this spot. And so obviously we know going from snow and to 70, 80 degrees is going to be different, but we're going to make sure that we prepare ourselves physically and mentally to go out there and be able to play a full four quarters or whatever it takes.
Patrick, against the Broncos, you're mic'd up and asked, did I would like Lamar there on that juke? And then against the Titans on Sunday, you run that 27-yard touchdown, break some tackles. Mm-hmm. How much have you tried to emulate his game, just the respect that you have and that you talked about between Lamar and Sean?
Yeah, I mean, I watch everybody in the league and try to see stuff that guys are doing. I think you do that as a quarterback when you're watching a lot of these great players. And so for me, I try not to – I know I can't juke like Lamar or do stuff like that. But I feel like I can't extend plays when I watch similar opponents, like I watch with Lamar playing the 49ers and seeing how he could extend plays, then I know that that's some stuff that I can take away, but I obviously can't run at the same agility or speed that he can.
A couple more guys.
Yeah, I mean, Travis, he's played a lot of great football in his career, and I mean, I know he's super excited to play in the Super Bowl and get a chance to play for it. Obviously, he watched his brother do it and saw how much excitement and stuff that was, and so I know it's going to be an exciting moment, but I think the biggest thing for all of us is just being who we are, and that's stuff that we preach every single day is just we take advantage of every single rep, we let our personality show, and we try to find a way to win the game in any way possible.
There you go. Quarterback one, Patrick Mahomes, is going to be beating the media quite a bit now, the big superstar that he is, because everybody's going to want to hear from Pat. Got the number one merchandise sales in the NFL. People want to hear from Pat. Coming up next, John Kurtz, K-Man in Manhattan, about the fight in Lawrence. Then Desmond Moses, former chief, joins us in studio for an hour as we break down Super Bowl 54.
Bing at night.
Welcome back to Bacon Night, and pleased to be joined by John Kurtz. He's the sports director down at K-Man in Manhattan, hosts the show down there. He also hosts the Faithful to Our Colors podcast on the 435 Podcast Network. Usually I talk college football with John, but obviously it's basketball season now, and the rivalry got stoked up a little bit last night between KU and K-State, John.
Yeah, it resembled a football game a little bit there. There's a little more contact than what you see in a basketball game. That was wild last night. It really was. I was, in interest of full transparency here, I was not in Lawrence getting ready for a game that I'm doing tonight and thought that I wouldn't miss much. K-State would probably get blown out and it would be fairly ho-hum. And I was 3 seconds away from being correct about that. But those final 3 seconds turned into something pretty crazy, starting with the Jason Gordon steal and ending up with Silvio De Sousa with a stool in his hand as there's a melee in the handicap section of College Basketball Cathedral, Allen Fieldhouse.
Well, four suspensions by the Big 12. Silvio De Sousa gets 12 games, David McCormick, 2. James Love, 8 games. Antonio Gordon, 3 games. So 2 each on either side for Kansas State and Kansas. And I've seen this going back and forth, and it's kind of a neutral observer. Man, the K-State fans are saying it's all KU, and the KU fans are saying it's all K-State. That's what rivals do.
Yeah, so I would say that my opinion here comes down to where I would say I think K-State was a willing participant in what happened, and I think Silvio De Sousa is the reason that everybody was there in the first place. Now, Dejuan Gordon, I even took some heat from K-State fans for putting it like this, but I'm actually not a huge fan of what Dejuan Gordon did to start by stealing the ball at the end there with 3 seconds left. Now, I can understand why he did it, and I don't think it came from any place of ill intent. He is a kid from inner city Chicago that was the Chicago Sun-Times Player of the Year last year, and so he's used to a certain level of toughness and an attitude that you have to have out there. He's a guy that Bruce Weber has said most closely resembles Barry Brown on this team as being the guy that's real gritty, tough, wanting to get after it. And so, one, he has that going. Then, two, he gets a shove from Silvio De Sousa right before he steals the ball, and I think that's what really triggered it. Either way, I don't think it's something that Dejuan Gordon should be doing. However, I don't think that then makes Dejuan Gordon culpable for the way that Silvio De Sousa completely overreacted and turned everything into what it was. I think it was kind of like an unwritten rule situation in baseball, right? Like, so, say, I think the analogy here is that Dejuan Gordon kind of pimped a home run, flipped the bat, then Dejuan Gordon came up the next time at the plate and got bunked in the back, which to me is the block that De Sousa then had on the other end, and therefore everything's square, it should be done. But when you stand over a guy and go do that to anybody, not even just on a basketball court, and you know it's going to result in a shoving match, and then De Sousa's the one that cocks the stand back and fires the first punch there. So, yeah, listen, James Love was more than willing to come off the bench. K-State's bench cleared in the first place, which is a no-no, and Antonio Gordon and David Sloan were both there doing a little bit of pushing and shoving as well. So I think K-State does deserve the suspension they got, but I am glad to see that, you know, overwhelmingly the worst outcome here for anybody was Silvio De Sousa, because I think he definitely deserves that.
He grabbed the chair. I'd never seen anything like that. Now, how did you see it? I mean, the video's been argued back and forth. It looks like Howard grabbed from a Kansas coaching staff, Terrence Howard, grabbed the chair before he could throw it.
Yeah, and thank goodness for that. I mean, it was crazy. I thought, like, Jordan Henriquez was over there, too, trying to take the stool away. And that's a former K-State player, seven-footer, who's now a graduate assistant on the staff. And honestly, I mean, kudos to all of the people that got in there to legitimately try and break that thing up and keep it from getting worse, because that's really a tough area of the court for it to happen, because it's, I mean, one, it's pretty cramped. Two, there's media seating over there. And three, it's the handicap section of Allen Fieldhouse. So there's a lot working there that makes that a pretty bad situation. If you have a shoving match like that that starts closer to midcourt or at the three-point line or something, it's a lot easier for officials, for coaches from the bench to step out there and break it up. But because of where it was and the fact that it was basically the end of the game, I think most of the players and everybody figured the game was over, because it, in essence, was. And so there wasn't as much holding them back, you know, holding them to the bench, keeping them there. So glad that it didn't get worse. I thought Bruce Weber was smart to point that out in his postgame to say, hey, like, I'm just glad nobody got hurt and it wasn't worse than what it was. I think it puts the spotlight back on the fact that Kansas is the team that had a dude running around with a stool in his hand. And so it could have been a lot worse.
Final thing for you, what kind of atmosphere are you expecting on February 29th when Kansas heads to K-State?
Man, I do not envy Gene Taylor, K-State's athletic director, and the K-State event staff that's going to have to deal with that crowd, which is funny because I was thinking going into the game last night, like, man, if K-State's getting blown out in the second half, well, usually that is a charged up atmosphere. But I felt like this year it might be subdued because K-State's having such a tough season. The fan interest has really waned as the season has gone along, and now we're seeing Kansas completely dominate K-State and Lawrence, so there's probably not going to be a lot of hope from fans by the time that game comes around. So I think, there may be more red-blue than there typically is, and it's going to be not quite as intense. And now you can take that and throw it out the window, because that just got ratcheted up. Now, I will say at least, and I think one good thing with Silvio De Sousa getting 12 games is that's going to put him past that K-State game in Lawrence. So you're not going to have Silvio De Sousa there in Manhattan for the game, that K-State game in Manhattan, rather. He's not going to be there for that, which I think definitely helps in terms of, you know, keeping the atmosphere not bubbling over like it did in Lawrence there. But it will be, I mean, someone who's attended many K-State KU games, there's a lot of hate in that. that building when Kansas comes into town, honestly, too much for my liking. And it's going to be there, I'm sure, as strong as ever this time around.
John Kurtz, KBN in Manhattan. John, I always appreciate it, my friend. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Anytime, Bing.
There you go, John Kurtz, about the fight between Kansas and Kansas State. Speaking of fights, the Kansas City Chiefs could be fighting the 49ers. Well, maybe not. But Desmond Moses, former Chiefs linebacker, in studio with me as we talk Chiefs for the next hour next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.